Good afternoon. This is Abdul Rashid Abba, and I happen to be the guest host for today's edition of Religion Means Alive. I want to welcome the audience. This particular program, of course, is hosted usually by Imam Abdul Muhammad, but he has asked me to be the guest host. Usually I'm the co-host with him on the second Monday of each month, but he's asking to be the guest host today, and I really appreciate him for giving me the opportunity to serve as a guest host on his program, A Religion Means Alive. So I welcome the radio audience, and for all of those who like to participate in the program today, you can call in. And the call-in number is area code 805. The number is 727-7013. And once you call in, you can just press 1 on your phone if you'd like to be connected to ask a question or make a comment. And as I am one who also very much connected to social media, there are a couple of other ways that you can connect with the show today. You can send me a tweet to my Twitter account, and my account is at Akbar1. That's at AKBARONE. And send me a tweet, and I'll be glad to respond to any tweets that I receive, read them on the air if they're applicable to what we're talking about. Or you can post to my Facebook page, you simply log into your Facebook account and you search for my name. That's Abdul Rashid Akbar. And let me spell it, A-B-D-U-L. R-A-S-H-E-E-D, and the last name is A-K-B-A-R. And if you do that, then you'll be able to post to my Facebook account, and I'll be glad also to read those posts that are applicable to what we're talking about today. So let me greet you in the traditional greetings that Imam Alfred, I'm sure it usually does, and I certainly will. It's the greetings of all the virtues, the greetings of peace, and that is, may the Creator's peace be upon you. And in the Arabic language, it's stated as Assalam Alaikum. So today's show, let me give you this kind of a brief rundown of what we'd like to discuss today on today's show. And again, certainly will encourage your participation. As you know, I usually come on and I usually talk about business and technology, and I will certainly do that today. I will be pulling information from several sources, and I will let you know those sources as I refer to them. And as I said earlier, I would certainly encourage those of our radio audience to feel free to ask questions or call in and make comments. Tweet me. Again, at Akbar1, you want to send me a tweet. And you can post to my Facebook account. It's Abdul Rashid Akbar on Facebook. All right, so let's get started. The first source that I want to consult today is an issue dealing with small business. And this source is the Black Enterprises Magazine. It is the April edition, April 2014 edition of Black Enterprises magazine. And I'm quoting from the executive memo. And this is by Mr. Earl Graves Jr., Earl G. Graves Jr. And he writes in this executive memo, small business is big business. Small business is big business. And very interesting. I'm going to now read some excerpts from his executive memo and make some comments about them. And as I say, further encourage your participation as we go along here. Now, let me quote from Mr. Earl Gray Jr.'s executive memo. How can this be true when 95% of the roughly 2 million African-American businesses operating nationwide are sole proprietorships? Let me back up a little bit so we can put this in some context. Let me begin from the beginning of his memo. Stated early, small business is big business. And I quote, I know quite a few business owners out there who may be scratching their head at this audacious statement. In fact, they're probably asking themselves how such an assertion can possibly hold true, since most spend each day struggling to keep the lights on or trying to find other creative ways to keep that single client. I continue to quote now, when 95% of the roughly 2 million African-American businesses operate nationwide are sole proprietorships. How can minnows compete against corporate whales that gobble up market share in every industrial sector? I want you to take note of that particular excerpt because I want to come back and make a comment on this. This comparison of small business with big business. Again, here he talks about how can minnows compete against corporate whales. All right, so let me continue. Quote from his article. Ask those questions or others like them, my fellow entrepreneurs, then that is exactly the problem. To succeed in today's environment, business owners must first change their mindset. We must stop embracing a survival mentality instead of focusing on a growth strategy. Very interesting statement, end quote. Very interesting statement, one which I certainly agree with, and I will come back and make some comments about that particular statement. Changing a mindset. It's invariably important that business owners, particularly small business owners or entrepreneurs, change their mindset from simply just struggling to survive to devising a strategy for growth and success. let me go on. And now quote more from his article, from his memo. Tenure to be held by a large number of entrepreneurs who constantly scramble to maintain contracts from year to year. And as a result, success as CEOs of micro businesses operating hand to mouth. Interesting statement. Some may say very provocative statement, and if you were to ask me from my perspective, I would say that quite true. We need to return to his article, his memo now, and I quote, moreover, I find far too many African-American companies willing to promote their minority status as their core competence, instead of how their unique products and services can benefit prospective and existing clients. Excellent observation. Another area that I certainly agree with him on, and we'll make more comments about it as we go along. Now I quote again. It's a flawed approach that pits them against countless companies that are part of the supplier diversity universe, including firms owned by women, Latinos, members of the LGBT community, and veterans, to name a few. To snare and retain customers, you must present a compelling value proposition to corporate clients and consistently demonstrate that your company will make good on its commitments through comparable quality and performance, period. Close quote. I even more so agree with this statement. And let me stop now and make some comments about some of what I've read from Mr. Earl G. Graves, Jr. There are many, and I believe too many, African Americans who are in business who believe that the only way that they can maintain their business and to progress in business is to identify as a minority-owned business. That is certainly one aspect of getting your information out there, getting information out there about your business or service. But that shouldn't be, in my opinion, and as I say, I agree with Mr. Earl G. Graves, Jr. here, in this case, that should be your top priority. Priority should be to champion your status as a minority owner-operated company. I believe that you really should promote what is your service or what are the products that you provide and what is the quality of them, and really to distinguish yourself from those other companies, whomever they are, in terms of that, in terms of the quality of your services and the quality of your products and your commitment to maintain excellence in the operation of your business in terms of providing these products and services. And use that to differentiate yourself from other businesses as opposed to hanging on to the label of a minority-owned and operated enterprise. There's nothing wrong with that. Not saying that you should not acknowledge that, and in some respects use it. The key thing is not to simply hang on that and not to move beyond that, and certainly not to put that out as your first recognition of your company in terms of its business and its operation. And that should be the method, or that should be the vision that you convey to all your clients, whether they're corporate or just a shopper that comes into your store in the neighborhood. You should be communicating to them that you're there to provide the best quality service and products that you can provide. So even though these excerpts that you may be of a difference of opinion of them, and I encourage you to either give us a call and call in and let us know how you feel about it, or post. Send me a tweet on Twitter or post to my Facebook page. Join the conversation and let me know what you're thinking about these statements that I've just made, and quoting from Mr. Earl G. Graves, Jr., his executive memo, which is outlined in the April 2014 edition of Black Enterprises Magazine. All right. So let me return to the executive memo and quote. So just what does it take for your small business to succeed today? You need these four key ingredients, and he states them as follows: scalability, capability, technological adaptability, and branding power. I want to repeat those so those of you who are taking notes can write these down, and because he expounded on them here, and these are very, very important. So let me say them again. Scalability, capability, technological adaptability, branding power. Now, he quotes, I'm going to continue, he continues by defining them in this order. And I quote, first, identify those partners, either for long-term viability or a short-term venture, that will enable you to bid for, secure, and complete business building contracts with major corporations. I want to stop there to simply say, okay, Uncle, to simply say, this is good information for those of you who are looking to do business with big corporations. And I would encourage you to take note of that. But even for those who are operating the corner store in the neighborhood, or who are like myself who have online business operations, this information is good also for us. You simply apply it to the business environment in which you're operating. It's very good information. Okay. So now, number two, and I quote, you'll increase your company's top line and solidify its can-do reputation. Second, make sure you have the right people, resources, and performance measurement tools in place to ensure predictable and optimal outcomes regardless of the size of any job. So that may be more so for those who are going for those contracts with corporate entities. But I would say it can also apply to businesses like mine, is an online sales operation that I have, and a couple other businesses that I have all operated online. Still, and if you have either online business operations or you just have a small business in the community, in your community, I would still encourage you to put in place tools to be able to measure the outcome of how you're operating within the environment of your business, that you're able to get feedback on how your business is operating and how you're servicing your customers or clients, and that you have appropriate people in place that will be able to deliver the level of business expertise that you would like to have delivered to your business customers and clients. Whether you're in the small store in the neighborhood or online, or you have a business where you're trying to compete with and get business from large corporate clients. Now, I return to the executive memo here, and I quote, next, effectively employ what I call the great equalizer, technology, to effect greater financial and operational efficiency, as well as to expand outreach efforts through social media. Now, for what I've said thus far in his executive memo, this particular point, from my perspective, what I refer to as being the most important. And I like what he refers to technology as the great equalizer. It is absolutely that in today's business environment. It is absolutely that. I will, as we go on in our presentation today, I'm going to go through some information on technology in a course continuing business. But he hit the nail right on the head. Day and time is extremely important for any entrepreneur to employ and integrate technology and social media in their business operations. And as I stated in a previous presentation here on Religion Means Alive, the entrepreneur, the principal owner of a business, does not have to have to know everything about technology and social media. But as was stated earlier here, you need to have the appropriate people in place. I mean, employ the appropriate people that do have that. And if you happen to be an entrepreneur who is just starting out or you are getting going, the business may not be that old or not that far along, and you just don't have the resources to employ someone, see if you can tap a family member who is well-versed in particular social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, some of the social media platforms, and then and apply the other technology to your business. Try to, if all possible, involve family members or close friends who have this kind of expertise, because what it can contribute to your business is invaluable. And there's a distinct possibility that you could get this kind of expertise for very little cost, out-of-pocket cost. You may even decide that you can barter. That means that you can exchange products or services from your business with someone whose business is focused on social media, and then take advantage of the expertise in that manner. But in the final analysis, it's extremely important that you take advantage of the technology that's available out here today and integrate it with your business and, of course, social media. You would only put your business at a competitive disadvantage if you did not do that. There are large companies, or I should say companies large and small, who have social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, using Instagram, and using other social media operations and technological operations and reap the benefits of it. And as is stated here again by Mr. Earl G. Graves Jr., he is a great equalizer. So even if you're a small operation, you can compete as though you're a large operation if you integrate technology and social media in your business operations. So I encourage you to do that. All right. So let me return now to Mr. Earl G. Graves Jr.'s executive memo. And I quote, "It all begins with you. You can no longer think of your business as that traditional small enterprise with a grand vision and strategic focus. Your venture can grow into a powerful, profitable engine of innovation and employment." So, unquote. So, I would really suggest that you pick up Mr. Earl Grey Jr.'s information here that he's laid out in this executive memo, and take it to heart in those areas that I've expounded on and I agree with. As I have been making presentations here on religion meaning the last, I've often stated that business, particularly in the African-American community, needs to continue to grow and develop. And if we can employ and use technology, not to be afraid of technology, but to embrace it, as Mr. Earl G. Gray Jr. says here, is a great equalizer. It can make, it can really take your business to the next level. Right. All right, so with that, I want to leave that particular subject right now. And listen, I want to talk a little bit about in the business environment, in the business theme. Then I will be going to technology. But I want to continue with the business thing. And now I'm coming from a different source. This is a course from the Chicago Tribune. And they were covering a business program here in the Chicago area. And one of the guests was Irving Magic Johnson. And of course, for those of you who may not know who Magic is, they have a short introduction here. But of course, many of those in my generation know him as one of the stars of the Los Angeles Lakers, a Hall of Famer, a basketball star, Hall of Famer. And once he retired from the from basketball, he's become a business entrepreneur par excellence, I would say. And he was a guest at this particular business forum, and he left some tips for those individuals, business owners, who are in the audience. So now I would like to quote from his business tips that he shared. And just like they were good for the audience there, I think they will be good for our audience here on Religion Means Alive. So let me quote from the article here. Irving Magic Johnson has gone from playing basketball to building businesses. His Magic Johnson Enterprises includes a theater chain and a food service contract with Sodexo USA, and has run more than 100 Starbucks locations. He led a group that bought the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball franchise in 2012, and in February, he became a partner in the purchase of the WNBA's Los Angeles Sparks. Johnson gave the keynote speech at the National Restaurant Association show at a corner place and offered advice about building businesses and meeting the needs of minority communities. So with that introduction, let me now read Mr. Irving Magic Johnson's business tips. Number one, under the title, Remove the Ego. The first deal I ever did was a Pepsi distributorship with Black Enterprises founder Earl Graves. It helped me to understand business, he said. I had to take my ego so I could learn business. I got on the truck with the truckers who were delivering the Pepsi at 4:30 a.m. in the morning. For 3 days straight, I went out and met with all the store managers, because they were the key to all my businesses, the mom and pop stores, as well as the hotel. Very, very interesting. Very, very important, that particular tip. There's a lot that we can learn just from that. As he says, remove the ego. And don't be afraid to get out there, as they say, and work with those right on the front line, no matter what your business is. All right. His second attempt, be bold. The boldest move I ever made, and I'm talking about Irvin Magic Johnson. Now, this is not me talking. This is not Abdul Rashid Aqua talking. This is Irvin Magic Johnson speaking. The boldest move I ever made was to go up to Seattle and I knocked on Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz's door. And I said, the growth of your business has to be through urban America because you have one on every corner in suburban America. Schultz committed to working with Johnson to build Starbucks locations after visiting one of Johnson's theaters. He had a chance to see that our managers managed the theaters very well. Johnson started off with a deal to build 3 Starbucks locations with the potential for 125 if those were successful. Here, a great, great, great tip. In business, be bold. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. But be bold. If you see it as an opportunity that can help grow your business and take your business to the next level, certainly take advantage of it. Step out on it. And have faith in your creator, that your creator led you to the point where you got into business and you started your business. And so if you come to that point, move on that same faith to grow your business and take it to the next level. So don't be afraid to be bold. Okay, so next tip. Reinvest, especially with technology. Here again, we talk about technology. Can't mention it enough. Cannot mention it enough. Here's what Urban Magic Johnson says, and I quote, the key to my success in the 125 Starbucks is that I didn't take any money out. I let the first one build the second one, and the second one build the third one, and the third one build the fourth one, and so on. I took very little out in terms of money until it was time, and then I didn't change my lifestyle. Real important. Very important. First, you didn't take money out of his business before they were able to do so, and didn't change his lifestyle because he was acquiring more money. Johnson goes on to say, business owners have to make critical financial decisions that lean toward technology. Make sure you've got the latest and greatest technology, because that's going to help you be successful with your business. Very important, very important. In the previous article I read to you from Black Enterprises from Mr. Earl Green James Jr., he talked about technology being the great equalizer. Here, here's another business, Kirby Magic Johnson, saying that technology is going to be the key to your success. So, here we have from two very different business individuals, people, talking about the importance of technology in your business, and that it's so valuable, it's so important. And so it's important not to discount the value of technology, and even more so, to use technology, to use it in your business and to incorporate in your business. And as I said earlier, if you have or don't have the biggest understanding and command of it, employ those or involve those in your business that do have it and can bring that kind of expertise to your business. Okay. Also, another point that made important, I think 3 points there. Don't take money out of the business until it's time and your business can handle taking money out. You heard the old adage of reinvesting in your business. Turn the money over and reinvest it in your business, and so that your business can continue to develop. As he says, you, as a business owner, you're going to have to make some critical business decisions. And you want to make them in a way that you have the greatest opportunity for success. And by continuing to reinvest in your business, keeping that money turning in your business, it gives you a much greater opportunity to be successful. This next point here, find the missing piece. Find the missing piece. As I quote, it's TGI Fridays in Los Angeles. This is Urban Magic Johnson now. He has a TGI Friday in Los Angeles. Well, he has more than one. I'll quote again. His TGI Fridays in Los Angeles had 2 and 3 hour wait times. But Johnson said the restaurant wasn't turning the kind of profit he would have liked because of the way it was ordering food. He said, I'm thinking, we're making a lot of money, but the food cost was killing us. We have to get a handle on buying food, Monday through Wednesday versus Thursday through Saturday. I'm talking about Thursday through Sunday. We got a great manager who understood how to buy food, he said. So, as he said here, find the missing piece. So, but now for him to look at finding the missing piece, he had to be up on his business operations. And here again, this is a good instruction for us as entrepreneurs. Know enough about your business and its operating to know if it's operating well, if there's a need to make some changes, just to better understand your business. Make certain you're involved in your business to that degree so that if you do need to make some changes, first you got to understand that if a change needs to be made, and then attempt to get the information you need to make the appropriate change. All right. This next point, put in the work. Put in the work. Johnson told of entering Starbucks and having a patron so excited to see him that he knocked over his own drink. Johnson waved off a manager who was leaving to clean up the spill, directing him to continue to help the customers in line. But Johnson said, I got this, he said. The thing I was trying to teach him was I'm not above any job. I don't mind getting my hands dirty. I going to always be a worker. My dad instilled that in me. I think that's a typo here. But what he really says is he's always going to be a worker. They said his dad instilled that in him. But the message that he was communicating here was extremely important and is really good. And that is, no matter what status you achieve, if you're in business, you're in business and you don't mind being the are doing the job for the frontline kind of person waiting on customers, or if someone happens to spill their drink, spill something in the store and you're there to assist in cleaning it up, you're not above doing that. It's your business. And it sends a powerful message to your employees and also to your customers, for those that know that you own the business, that you're not that you're not above doing the jobs that they do. Because in the final analysis, it's all of us working together, both the owner and the employees, to make the business successful. If the business is successful, or if the business is successful, then everyone benefits from it. So, excellent lesson, excellent critical lesson here. And the last point that, the last tip he lays out here in the article is pace growth. Pace, P-A-C-E, growth. Growth at a slow, disciplined rate, he advised. Or grow at a slow, disciplined rate. We all want growth and sustainability. But he quotes, or he cautions, don't grow too fast. Don't take on contracts that you can't deliver on. I passed on contracts when I first got started because I couldn't deliver. But that same contract came back around later when I was in a position to deliver. And, unquote, and that's the end of his business tips from his article. But I want to expand on that one. Very critical, very important. As you said, everybody wants to grow. We all want to grow. But the best growth, as he says, is slow and disciplined, too fast. Don't believe or don't get caught up with, well, things are not going fast enough. Money's not coming in fast enough. The products are not moving fast enough. We could do better. Well, you probably could, but you don't want to go too fast. Because if you go too fast, you may not be effective, and it may cause you a great many problems down the road. So I thought that it was important to share with the audience here on Religion Means Alive. I hope some of what I've shared in these two sources of information on business and also both mentioned technology, I hope that's been informative to members of the audience, and I again encourage you, if you like, to call in and share your comments or ideas or questions with the audience. And again, the call-in number is 805-727-7013, and just push number 1 to be connected to ask your question. Also, since I do embrace and work with technology and social media, you're welcome to give me a post to my Twitter account, a question or comment. And you can post to my Twitter account at Akbar1. That's at AKBARONE. Or you can post to my Facebook page and simply search Abdul Rashid Akbar on Facebook, and then you can post a comment or a question to my Facebook page. Now, I want to go to another, I think, important point of information that I want to share with the radio audience today. And This is primarily on technology. But more to the point, technology use by African Americans. And I think this will be illuminating to our radio audience. This information comes and was published in the March issue of Black Enterprises magazine. It was outlined in the tech sector. And it's tech use among African Americans. Now, let me first give you the source of the data, and then I want to relate this to you. The source of the data is from telephone interviews conducted by Princeton Survey Research Associates International. And the survey took place from July 18th through September 30th, 2013. That is the source of the information here. And now let me outline what they published here in terms of tech use among African Americans. And I quote, 80% of African Americans use the Internet. Now, this trails Caucasians who use it 87%. So it shows them 7%. And by 12% compared with home broadband adoption. That's different when age, education, and income are factored in. Now, let me go back to that first outline, this first information here, this first stat. Home broadband adoption. That means those who have a broadband connection in their home. It's important for us as African Americans in the radio audience, very important that we do all we can to bring the latest technology into our homes, particularly if we have children in our home. In order for children to be able to compete in this global society, as they go into adulthood, they're going to have to be familiar with the use of technology, particularly the Internet. We know that in many of them, well, let me just stop there and continue with the stats here, and then I'll make some more comments. All right, so again here, the stats differ when age, education, and income are factored in. For example, some 86% of African Americans ages 18 to 29 are home broadband adopters. That means they have broadband in their homes, which is great. As are 88% of college graduates and 91% of African Americans with an annual income of $75,000 or more. Very excellent, very informative, very enlightening statistics here. Let me continue. 72% of African Americans have either a home broadband connection or a smartphone or both. And that's what I was getting ready to speak about a little earlier, but I'm better ready to read this particular stat. We know that many of the young people have cell phones and may have a connection to the Internet through the cell phone. But when it comes to doing research and comparing assignments for school, and for related business or employment, it's really important to have the latest technology in the home. a broadband connection is almost a prerequisite in this day and time. And I hope that most in the audience understand when I say broadband, what I'm speaking of. A broadband connection is a connection with a modem and users connected to a service like a internet service provider like a cable company or a telecommunications company, as opposed to what they call dial-up. And when you dial up, can get online that way. Most people now, and also the real difference with broadband and dial-up is just the movement of the data. And so that broadband is much faster and allows you to search much faster, download much faster, and of course can enhance the ability to research and to bring learning applications and things like that into the home, as well as entertainment. So there are several applications, but it's critical to try to have that latest technology in your home if at all possible. Now the next quote here, and this is mostly dealing with social networks, 73% of African Americans use social networking sites, and 96% of those aged 18 to 29 use a social networking site of some kind. African Americans use Twitter more than Caucasians, 22% compared to 16%. Now, the interesting thing about that statistic, and I'm glad to see that a great number of percentage of African Americans are using social networking sites, and particularly those between 18 and 29. The key thing is, what are we using them for? If it's purely for socializing, even if it's without friends, things like that, I would say that we're not taking the biggest advantage of social networking. I would certainly encourage that use, but also to be able to keep up on what's going on in the world, business or otherwise, and to be able to get a greater understanding of how these social media platforms work, and then be able to apply those and help them either in their own development of a business or helping a loved one, a family member, in their business by applying the knowledge that they have acquired in using the social media platforms. So I would encourage and support the promotion using social media, particularly among our young people, but not just for its social aspects, but to be able to look at applying it into furthering the growth and success of businesses in our community. Now, let me return to these last few stats on tech use among African Americans. In terms of mobile device ownership, e-readers such as the Nook and by Barnes & Noble and the Kindle Fire by Amazon, those will be referred to as e-readers. African Americans own 21% versus Caucasians that own 26%. And in terms of tablets, these can be tablets like from Apple, the iPad, or from other manufacturers, Samsung, and others, the tablets, computer tablets. In terms of African Americans, 29% own a tablet, and versus 34% for Caucasians. And these numbers are really close. And so I'm just glad to see that African Americans are using, adapting and using this technology, the mobile technology. And then the final stat is for smartphones. And, of course, these are the phones where you can actually, they're actually small computers where you can download information or apps or whatever, and it's, and you can do a lot more with them as opposed to just making a phone call. So in terms of smartphone ownership and use, 53% of African Americans own smartphones as compared to 56% of Caucasians. So this is firstly the good stats in terms of that. And particularly with the smartphone use. So the adoption of and use of technology, particularly mobile technology by African Americans, the stats are interesting, and I would say that they're moving in the right direction for African Americans. Would just encourage that as we're using the technology, that we apply it in a manner, although just the social use of it, but that we can apply it to help, again, encourage the promotion and the success of business in the African American community. So, after what we've just covered now, in terms of technology use and business tips given by Urban Magic Johnson, and the business information provided through the article from Earl Graves Jr. It brings me now to what I want to, again, I think I can bring this all together in this next program. I'd like to probably remind the Religion Means a Live audience. I introduced information, I think, two programs ago, and it encompasses or encompasses all that I've just read and covered, and that is a small business. The fact it's a program for small businesses that will, by using technology and pooling the resources of small businesses, can help them become much more successful and actually compete with much larger business enterprise. And that is the New Africa Buying Network. The New Africa Buying Network, which is a project that was introduced in February 2014, will use the latest advancements in computer and mobile technology to help network members purchase items for resale directly from manufacturers. This collective buying program will help network members compete with much larger business enterprises. And now I want to read from a fact sheet that I put together regarding the New Africa Buying Network, and then to give the audience information on where they can go online and get more information about the Buying Network, and if they have an interest to become a member of the Buying Network, that information will be available to them. The New Africa Buying Network is a membership-only program, and there are two classes of members, small businesses and not-for-profit organizations. To become a member of the New Africa Buying Network, the business owner or operator must complete the membership application and provide proof of the business's legal status as a of the business legal status. And this can be done through providing the employee identification number, or a copy of the current business license, or a copy of the doing business as document that each business will have. And it will have one of these three. And any one of them can be given to show proof that they're currently in business and operating as a business. Not-for-profit organizations must provide copies of the tax-exempt certificate or organization operating documents. If they don't happen to be a tax-exempt organization, but they still are a non-profit organization, they can provide organization operating documents to show that. Now, there's a membership fee to join the network. For small businesses, the fee is to join is $200. And for not-for-profit organizations, the fee to join is $175. After the first year, the annual renewal of the membership for small businesses, $100. And for non-profit organizations, the renewal is $75. And this is just yearly renewal. Now, once entity becomes a member of the network, then recommendations for products to purchase can be made. Once a product recommendation is made, a search for a manufacturer begins immediately. That means as soon as one of the members say that they would like to research a particular product, a search for the manufacturer of that product will begin. Once a manufacturer is identified, negotiations will begin regarding purchasing of items or products. Now, specific price points will be determined, and this information will be sent to network members via email or one of the new technologies that will be adapted for the network, and that's an application that's referred to as called WhatsApp. These communication tools, very important to keep up with the network members. Because the network is open to members, businesses, and organizations from all over, and because the search for manufacturers will be in country, but also in other countries around the world, it's important to employ a communications vehicle that would not be costly or cost burden on the network. And that's why the network leaders are adopting the WhatsApp app. This particular application is the application that was, or business that was purchased by Facebook and for about $19 billion. And it's an application that works, communicates just like text messaging does, but it doesn't go through a text messaging center or through a cellular network. It works on the data network or your data with your data plan. And therefore, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection anywhere in the world, you can communicate with WhatsApp, sending pictures, music, and then just messages, and even conduct group chats on WhatsApp, and with no additional cost because you're not going through a cellular network. That means wherever you are in the world, you can communicate, and that's why the network is adopted and will use the WhatsApp platform because it will really reduce the cost of keeping in touch with the members of the network and bringing in information as soon as possible on products and what the cost of the products are in terms of the quantity that is ordered and the communication we move forward with it. network members will be asked how much of the product they wish to purchase. When the request for purchase reaches the target price point, the items or products will be added to the new half of the Buying Network Marketplace website for purchase. And this is another key component that we've integrated here with this program. And one which I believe can really work for members of the network. One of the shining examples. Once an item has been identified, and I like to use an example, let's just say watches. Maybe we've looked at a manufacturer for watches, and we've identified the price points, once the price points are identified, enough network members have expressed interest in ordering watches for resale that we have met one of the price points. So then that particular information is placed on the website that's only open to network members. And they go to that website, and then that's where they order the number that they want. And so no capital, there's no money for a business that's committed until that business owner identifies that this item that they like, an item, a product that they want. And then once that's done, they can then order just the number that they want. Now, and with certain items, that may be a minimum. For example, in the case that we're using watches, the example using watches, the minimum may be 3. That means in order for you to purchase these watches for resale in your business, you must order at least 3. I think all of you would agree with me, if you're in business and you're going to be selling watches, you're certainly going to order more than one watch to sell, right? And so that's what we mean when we say that in certain products, there may be minimums. Didn't say there will be, but there may be minimums of an order. But the beauty of this operation is it allows a business owner to retain their capital until they're actually ready to make a purchase. And then when they're making the purchase, they can make the purchase through an online e-commerce website, the same way you would purchase items from any other online operation like Amazon or Walmart.com or any other online enterprise. And the beauty is we set up this site where a business owner can use PayPal or their business debit or credit card or a personal debit or credit card, whichever source is best for them. This giving the business owner even more flexibility in terms of what source of funds they want to use for ordering their particular products. So I hope you can see where this can really help a business owner, a small business owner, just using the technology and using the buying power of the network can really help them compete. Now, I'm going to return to the fact sheet here, information from the fact sheet. Cost information, including shipping, will be included in the description of the products. There will be a deadline for members to complete the orders. Once the deadline is passed, the items will be removed from the Buying Network Marketplace website. The items will be ordered from the manufacturer, and network members will be notified when the items arrive at the warehouse. Network members can arrange to pick up their orders or have it shipped by a carrier of their choice to their location. And so, there, as we move along and work with our suppliers, based on some of their orders, there might, and based on the size of some of the orders, there might be an opportunity to have those orders drop shipped. I mean, shipped directly from the manufacturer to the business owner. But in other instances, we may have to have them shipped directly to a warehouse and then shipped to the business owner. The important thing is the again here, a business owner, no matter what the size of their business, can buy at the level of a large, much larger business, and then pass those savings on to their customers or clients. The goal of the New Africa Buying Network is to try to get products to its network members at or below wholesale. At or below wholesale. Now, in terms of just keeping in touch with and communicating with our network members, we've already set up a toll-free nationwide conference call program, and when we schedule the first conference call, we'll be getting information out to those who are interested in dialing in and taking part in that conference call. You don't have to be an original member, a member of the network, to participate in the first several conference calls, because we want to set those up for an opportunity for interested people to ask questions and give them more information about the network. Then eventually we'll ask that only those who are members of the network call in on the conference call and keep them informed. We'll put together a quarterly email newsletter that will communicate and get information out to network members in maybe more detail than we can cover on the conference call. We've also decided to set up a Facebook group for network members. Again, using all of the technology, social media and digital technology, to keep members of the network informed and also to help them be able to compete with the real goal of strengthening and growing the small businesses in primarily the African-American community. Now, for any of those who want additional information on the New Africa Buying Network, I would direct you to this website, www.newafricagroup.com. That's www.newafricagroup.com. And when you get to that website, simply click on the link for the New Africa Buying Network, and all the information, updated information, is there and available for those who go to the website. It is my hope that this particular program, along with the other programs that have been introduced in previous sessions of the of Religion Means Alliance, it is my hope that these will all work together to help and encourage the promotion of businesses in our community and the strengthening of business in our community. Now, as one final subject that I want to cover, it was one that I approached, I believe, in the last meeting that we had, last broadcast, and that is never be afraid to fail. Never be afraid to fail. I kind of talked about, so when you talk about getting into business, and as Brother Johnson stated in his business notes, being bold, but more important, to have the confidence, number one, in oneself, in the faith in your Creator. If you know that you come to your business, or you come to the idea of business, and you've been blessed with that this idea, and many of us have. Some of us have moved on those ideas. Some have not. And what may keep some back is simply this idea of being afraid to fail. But I would encourage you not to accept that as a premise, to never be afraid to fail. There's a book that I have read early on as I was learning more about business, and it was one that I actually employed in my teaching of a concept of encouraging people to look at going into business. And it's one of the publications by Robert Kiyosaki. The name of the book is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he stated in his book that people would say that going into business is risky. Being in business is risky. 9 out of 10 businesses fail. And his response to them was always, well, that just means I need to start 10. If 9 out of 10 fail, I need to start 10. And then all the information that and all the lessons that I've encountered in those first 9 would be employed in that 10th one, and it would take off. And it would pay for the experiences that I've had to encounter and deal with in those first 9 failures. And in fact, you simply said, when you try something and it doesn't work out the way you like, it's not really a failure. You haven't failed. It just doesn't come to the fruition that you would like. But you don't stop. You keep going. You don't stop. And particularly, I like to leave that advice for those African-Americans who are listening to our program today. If you have a desire, or if you've ever had a desire to go into business, don't let this concept of being afraid to fail stop you. Learn as much as you can about whatever the area that you would like to go into. And if you can, acquire the knowledge and then consult those that you have confidence in, that you can trust, that it can help you in terms of your business enterprise, and then seek to go ahead into that business. But keep in mind some of the business pointers that I'll laid out today, particularly one that has been mentioned here by Magic Johnson today. Go slow. Don't go fast. Be deliberate. Slow, deliberate, steady. Even in terms of providing and getting financing for your business, there are some who can go out and have resources that they can go out and tap and bring money and other resources into their business. And then there's some who don't have that. If you don't have it, then finance it yourself. Take it slow And if you're able to put a lot of resources into it while you're doing other things, then do that yourself and finance it yourself. Certainly, it will take a little longer for your business to grow and take off. But as Magic Johnson says, but you shouldn't be in a race with anybody for it to grow and become successful. The landscape is littered with those who eventually have to file for bankruptcy or something like that because they've gotten overextended and the business didn't take off like they wanted to, but yet they're in a large amount of debt because of what they committed themselves to and getting loans from others to finance their business. Slow, steady growth would be the way to go. But definitely don't be afraid to take a step out there. Don't be afraid to test an idea or product in the final analysis, don't be afraid to fail. Remember, if you try something that doesn't work out the first time, you continue to try. Some would say that, business is not like riding a bike. I would probably say, in some respects, it is. You learn how to ride a bike. Sometimes you need training wheels. Some learn that way. Some learn by just continuing to get on the bike. Sometimes they fail. Sometimes they scrape up a knee. Sometimes they hurt an arm. But they continue to get on the bike. And before you knew it, they were riding by themselves and they had mastered the ability to ride. This can be the same way that I would encourage you to promote and encourage going into business. Don't be afraid to put some setbacks. Setbacks, challenges, and setbacks only make you stronger. I encourage my fellow entrepreneurs or those who would like to be entrepreneurs, don't allow the fear of not being successful when you first encounter your business and growing your business. Don't allow that to stop you from moving forward and trying to be a business owner. If that is what is of importance to you, if that is something that is your lifelong dream and you've been striving for, I would say go for it. Don't allow and don't be intimidated by the ability of not being successful when you first go out there to stop you from the trying. I think that would only limit you in terms of what you will be able to do. Also, it would limit you in terms of understanding what those important qualities that the Creator has given you. If you never test those qualities, you won't know you have them. And you can only test them by actually participating and doing and getting out there, getting involved, and not being intimidated. So I've really enjoyed this session of Religion Means Alive. It has really been my pleasure to be the guest host, standing in for Imam Alfred Muhammad. I really appreciate him giving me this opportunity. And my hope is that I look forward to co-hosting with Imam Alfred the next time, which will be the second Monday in July. Is that time I hope to be back with the audience here on Religion Made Alive, Imam Alfred Muhammad. I want to thank all of you in the radio audience. I know it was a new introduction this time with the program in terms of social media, but I will in the future continue to and even more so encourage your participation either by calling into the show or to tweeting me on sending me a tweet on Twitter or posting to my Facebook account, be glad to respond to any of those who do. I look forward to that kind of participation in the next program. So with that, to the respected, honorable audience on Religion Means Alive, I'd like to greet you. As I greet you coming on, I'd like to greet you and look forward to speaking with you the next second Monday in July. Thank you for listening, and I pray you have a fantastic evening, excellent week. Until we talk again, I greet you with the greetings of peace of all the creators. I'm sorry, the greeting of the Creator. Peace be unto all of you. Assalamu alaikum.